Rock 107 WIRX, WIRX.com. It's Brock. Thank you, everyone who's watching, for joining us today. And if you've been listening to the Plan B Morning Show, you've heard me talk about human trafficking, starting this conversation on something that really I don't think enough people talk about. And that's why I am honored to partner with the Michigan Abolitionist Project to talk about human trafficking. And a lot of us go through our day to day. We don't think about it. Maybe we've seen the movie Taken and we're like, oh, yeah, I've heard of human trafficking. And that's right. Same thing. Right. We've seen it in TV, maybe seen an article in a newspaper. But to be honest, it's something that doesn't get nearly enough attention. And that is why we are having this conversation today. And then some. This is going to be part of a much larger conversation because there's a lot to talk about. There's a lot of things to cover. Let's real quick introduce the guest today. If you just want to tell us who you are and what you do. So Heather, why don't you start?
Yeah, my name is Heather McGannon, and I am the West Michigan Program Coordinator for the Michigan Abolitionist Project. My main role is as the coordinator for the Southwest Michigan Human Trafficking Task Force, which covers the Tri-County area down in Southwest Michigan. And I handle a lot of our communications, but my main role is with the Southwest Michigan Task Force.
Wonderful. Well, we are glad to have you here with us to talk about this. Emily, tell us about you. What do you do?
All right. My name is Emily Johnson. I'm also a program coordinator for Michigan Abolitionist Project. I am on the southeast side of Michigan, though, more of the Metro Detroit area. And I do a lot of similar things to Heather, just managing our programs and our initiatives, really.
Okay. Well, now that we've got to meet kind of the people behind that, I know you work with a lot of amazing people, and there's a lot of hardworking individuals that are working with the Abolitionist Project here in Michigan. Let's talk about that. Map-mi.org, by the way, is the website, and we're going to be referencing that and telling people where to go and all these great resources to help combat human trafficking. But maybe Heather, in your words, how would you describe the Michigan Abolitionist Project?
Yeah, the Michigan Abolitionist Project is an organization that is working to prevent and end human trafficking, specifically in Michigan and beyond. And so our main focus is in training and education, helping to educate citizens of Michigan about human trafficking, what it is, how to recognize it, recognize the signs, and to collaborate with other organizations and people in Michigan to work together to help end human trafficking here.
Now, Emily, you said you are in the southeast corner. So is it broken down in different sections? Is it just throughout Michigan here?
I would say Kathy and I, Kathy Maitland, our executive director, we both live in the Metro Detroit area. So that's just where kind of the hub is currently. Okay. But now with Heather, we are expanding across the, you know, across the state slowly as we get more and more staff. But I would say for a long time, I mean, we originated actually in the Grand Rapids area, and then it's kind of just followed wherever the executive director is.
Okay. how long has the Michigan Abolitionist Project been around?
I think we started as a grassroots organization in 2012, just started with a small group of volunteers that eventually became its very own 501c3.
So really this just came as a passion project for people seeing a need for information for helping people going through this and started that up, which is pretty amazing right there. I mean, you think this would be something that should be taken care of at a high level, but now it takes everyday people like, you know, you and Heather and doing that and all the other great people that you work with. Well, now that we've got kind of a better idea, and again, map-mi.org, if you're listening to this podcast and you want to get a new tab going, you want to find out more, there's a lot of great information on there, and we'll lead you to other great spots like I mentioned. I guess we need to start painting that picture for people to understand what exactly human trafficking is. And for me, as a middle-aged male, I hate to say it, it's not something that has come up a lot in conversation. We don't sit around at bars and talk about human trafficking, you know, and it's one of those topics that, you wouldn't think is in the 21st century would be an issue, but apparently it is, and something that continues to be a problem and something that needs resolution. So, Heather, I know this is a broad question, but how would you best describe human trafficking?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and actually, just to kind of go off a little bit of what you were saying there, too, I think it also makes sense that, well, first of all, that this isn't a conversation that we have in the bars because it's uncomfortable and it's hard to talk about. And it really is. It's awful to the more that you learn about the realities of it. But also, there have not been laws in place to recognize human trafficking for very long. The first human trafficking law came into place in the U.S. in 2000 and in Michigan in 2006. So it also is, if this is all new to you, it's okay. because it really has not been something that we've even been talking about from the higher levels for that long either, even though it has existed for a long time. Mm-hmm. We would define human trafficking simply as modern day slavery, where people profit from the control and exploitation of others. It's a business of stealing freedom for profit.
Okay. As a by the book definition of that, and of course we're going to really dive into that and what it means, not just for, you know, the big picture of things, but here right in our own little corner of the world. Emily, for you, as we talk about human trafficking, what's maybe a misconception that we want to throw out and get out of the way right now when it comes to human trafficking? So what Heather just told us what it is, maybe let's take a look at what people need to get out of their heads when it comes to human trafficking as we have this conversation.
I would say that it's not just commercial sex. There's also labor trafficking. There can be organ trafficking. There can be all kinds of different types of human trafficking, but it's not just commercial sex. Labor trafficking is also a very big one. I think that's a common misconception. People are all just quick to think about sex and sex trafficking.
It's interesting you brought that up because in what Heather said, and he kind of is trying to imagine, okay, what is human trafficking? And you brought up sex. And so we want people to just think deeper than that, because mm-hmm. I hate to say it. This sounds like a terrible thing to say, but Hollywood and TV mm-hmm. and all that maybe is romanticized almost, like that's the sexy human trafficking, is you have the good looking girl who's on the yacht with the rich guy. Obviously, it goes so much deeper than that. And that's what we want people to realize, is that there's a lot going on, so much more than what you've just seen on TV. And of course, we're going to talk about myths and misconceptions later on in this part. All right. Is human trafficking a big problem, Heather?
Absolutely. Human trafficking is recognized as the third largest criminal activity in the world. Some would put it second next to the drug trade. It profits over $150 billion annually. And we see, just by those numbers alone, and those are estimates, we don't have great, because human trafficking really thrives in the darkness. It thrives on people not knowing. Victims and survivors are not quick to, they don't self-report as often as maybe we would think that they would. And we'll get into a lot of this more later. Our statistics are not, they aren't, we can't say with 100% accuracy, this is what they are. They're probably, the numbers are probably way higher mm-hmm. than the statistics that we actually do have. But we do know that it is the third largest criminal activity, probably second next to the drug trade, that there are over 24.9 million slaves in people in modern day slavery across the world, across the globe. Typically, we think of it as being something that is overseas. Maybe when you think of human trafficking, what comes to mind is that movie Taken, which I'm grateful that you've mentioned a few times. because that is what we've seen in Hollywood. That's kind of our main form of, in, I guess, Hollywood information on human trafficking. And so we think that it is, you know, an American girl going on vacation, getting off a plane and then being trafficked, which is not, that does happen sometimes, but that is not the majority. It also happens in the US. It happens in every state in Michigan, or in Michigan. It happens in every state in the US. It happens in every county. We see it happen in big cities. We see it happen in rural counties. It is all over, and there are also places where it is more concentrated.
Emily, in your day to day, in doing this for however long you have, what are some big hurdles that we've seen already? And I know, it, like Heather mentioned, I think the first act or law came in 2000, which is just astonishing, just barely over two decades ago, which it baffles me. What are some hurdles that you would like to have us jump over as we continue this conversation when it comes to informing people about human trafficking and what we're going to be discussing and that you've seen so far?
Mm-hmm. The first few hurdles that come to mind, prostitution and sex trafficking, there's a lot of blurry lines. It's hard to make the distinction of who is a prostituted individual, who is a sex worker. There's a lot of this language now that is a little more like pro sex work. It's pro female rights, which can get really tricky. So helping people distinguish the difference between when someone is prostituted and when someone is a sex worker by choice. And I use that phrase and term very loosely because going into the, if you are considering sex work as a profession, that might not be your first choice of a profession. And in many cases is often the last choice that someone wants to make. So that is really tricky when we're trying to help advocate for certain legislation. We get a lot of pushback with these sex workers' rights. Mm-hmm. I think another hurdle would just be for a long time, like children and youth involved in commercial sex. If someone is under the age of 18, no matter what, it is always considered human trafficking. If you think about the definition of human trafficking, you have to have elements of force, fraud, or coercion. And if the person is under the age of 18, according to federal law, it is human trafficking, no matter what, if they are engaged in a commercial sex act. And that can include pornography, that could include exotic dancing, if they're working at a strip club, sometimes just having like an OnlyFans account, like if you're selling commercial sex, if you're receiving payment or receiving anything in exchange, housing, clothes, food, whatever, if you're receiving something in exchange for a commercial sex act, that is part of the definition. But so lots of barriers because these misconceptions. Go ahead.
Guys, you mentioned something there, and I kind of want to, as we have this conversation about the hurdles and the challenges, and then going back to the fact that 2000 was the first law, there's probably even verbiage that hasn't been written up yet. We're still trying to figure out how to define this stuff. We're still trying to figure out how to define each of these individual things. That, I mean, that's just got to be uphill battles when you're trying to take this to, like you said, anybody in government, anybody, and you're like, well, look, we don't actually have an exact definition, but that's what we need help with doing. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I mean, for a long time, people were calling child porn, kiddie porn, child porn, where now people have recognized it. No, it's child sexual abuse material. You are looking at it under it. So a lot of the verbiage has changed over the years.
What's still a lot more. Still a lot more to change.
Definitely. Yeah.
And there are even still states that don't have law that a minor can still be prosecuted for prostitution. where they haven't even eliminated that law yet. And there are a lot of people that are working to have those laws eliminated. But yeah, there's just a lot that still is misunderstood. There are a lot of misconceptions about what it is, about understanding even the manipulative and psychological aspect of human trafficking. Because I think a lot of times people are like, well, why don't they just say something? Why didn't they just leave? And so we'll again talk more about what keeps victims there. But a lot of times, you know, we end up blaming the victim without realizing that there's so much more under the surface at play with human trafficking and why victims don't leave. There is, especially in the United States, a lot of psychological manipulation that happens that that keeps victims staying with their trafficker. And so recognizing those things, I think there is that collective effort that we need from the, you know, higher up legislative government aspect, where we need laws in place to help support and to prosecute human trafficking. And on the ground level, grassroots level, we need communities and individuals who understand how to recognize human trafficking, understand what it actually really is, understand a victim's mindset, understand what's going on, to be able to really recognize and all come together really as communities and to be able to recognize it and address it.
I think, there's probably people listening right now that this is the longest conversation they've heard about human trafficking, where we're at. And that's what we're going to try and do over the upcoming weeks and podcasts that you listen to, is break that down. I know we're painting with a broad brush right now. And I know, ladies, that's sometimes hard to do. We're like, hey, tell me everything, but also in a short time frame. So we're going to do a lot to break this down and really dive into different bits. So I guess, why don't we wrap this up with a kind of final thought, Heather, with the upcoming weeks and talking about this, what's maybe your main takeaway you want people to get from this conversation we're going to be having, if you have that?
Yeah, I think mainly for this episode, as we're talking about introducing human trafficking, recognizing what human trafficking is, that, you know, it's been a law just since 2000. When we talk about human trafficking, there has to be three parts of it that really make it up to be human trafficking. And that would be that the means that are used by the trafficker to keep the individual with them would be force, fraud, or coercion. We see that force, fraud, and coercion are three really important things to understand with it.
And that's, it's so great we have all this information out there, because like myself, who was just kind of, you know, ignorant to it, is knowing what to look for. And that's what I talk about in my ad libs as well, is if you're seeing something, we want people to have the right tools in hand. So after maybe this conversation and in the upcoming weeks, they can go, you know, actually, now that we mentioned this, or I remember they talked about this, and we can help give people the tools to see it, say something, stop it. And that's what we want to do. Emily, if anybody has any questions, they want to find some other outlets, I know I've given the website. You go to map-mi.org. Where are some other good outlets that people can go? And I know we'll share this as we go on, but maybe hit some other places people can find out more.
Sure. The National Human Trafficking Hotline is run by an organization, Polaris, the Polaris Project, and they have a website that is phenomenal. You can leave a tip on that website. They have a chat you can talk to. They've got tons of resources if you want to learn more about common myths and misconceptions, statistics. What does human trafficking look like? What is grooming? What are some of these survivor stories? What does this actually look like? Polaris, the Human Trafficking Hotline, is a tremendous, phenomenal resource to check that website out.
Awesome. Very good. Well, we are going to tie a bow on this one for right now because we still have so much to talk about and we want to get to all that. So make sure you keep checking out WIRX.com. Also, I'll be continuing to air and talking about this on the Plan B Morning Show. And if you miss anything, you can go back to these. Please share these. Have this conversation. I know it's not an easy one. It almost seems made up. You know, Heather there was talking about some of the things. It's like you almost have a hard time believing it, but it's true. These things are happening, and they're happening in our backyard. And I'm not here to be the boogeyman. That's not what we want to do. We want to just share information and hopefully put an end to human trafficking together. And then we won't have to do these podcasts anymore. Unfortunately, you two would be out of a job, but that's what I want. So,
That's good.
That's a good thing. So that's going to do it for right now. We will have more with the Michigan Abolitionist Project and WIRX as we talk about human trafficking with our great people there working. And we'll be back next time with WIRX.